Vectis Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
Because on the other microphone, I've got Honor the Radio Vet. Good afternoon, Honor.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Can I just get you that fraction close to that microphone?
There we go.
That's better. I think whoever had that on before had a bit of a strong voice, as we put it. Anyway, you're busy over there at the vets, are you?
Always busy, yes. I think all the vets on the island are flat out at the moment, as they always are.
Yeah, but they're always there at the call if you need them. Nice to know.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into the topic we were going to talk about, I must just pick your brains a little bit about the current avian flu outbreak.
Yes, so that has been going around the UK probably over the last sort of month or so. We've had a new outbreak. So as of midnight Monday, yesterday. All birds must be housed and kept away from wild birds.
So it's the wild birds that carry this?
Yeah, it seems to be the wild birds that largely are carrying it. So you get transmission through feces is one of the ways that it transmits. So if you can keep them separate, then that helps to prevent transmission.
So in the hen house or wherever it is then?
Yeah, I mean, I suspect a lot of people still have their setup from last year's avian flu outbreak. It's hard work keeping them in and keeping them occupied and clean and fed, but it is very important.
Okay.
If anybody has any queries or concerns, obviously give us a ring or actually have a look at the APHA website that have a lot of very clear guidance about what you should and shouldn't be doing.
And just so it's clear, this is a flu that only affects birds.
Yes.
It can't be transmitted to human beings.
Currently, no. Hedging my bets. No, this seems to be bird specific.
Okay,
it hasn't leapt across the species just
yet. Don't do that. We don't want that going on. We know what happens when you do
that.
No,
we don't want to make anything happen.
Basically, keep your birds indoors or at least.
They need to be confined at the moment to decrease any transmission.
And the government will say when that's going to be lifted. And
yes.
We will say so.
Yes. So keeping up to date with the APHA website with the avian flu links is easy and clear.
If you've got neighbours who keep hens, and a lot do, just knock on their door and mention it to them.
It's worth just saying. I think we put something on our Facebook site, and I think it is quite widely advertised, but there will always be some people who are unaware.
Yeah, good idea. Thank you, Anna. Now, Josie, you've got a question, because we're coming up to Christmas, aren't we? It's December the 1st tomorrow, believe it or not already. And you've got some questions about pets and Christmas, haven't you, Josie?
There are four questions. Number one, are there certain foods that we love to eat at Christmas that would be poisonous to our pets?
Oh, so many. So dogs are our major culprits because, well, they're dogs, and cats seem to be slightly more sensible. Things that will poison your pets at Christmas: chocolate. Raisins, so lovely things like mince pies and Christmas cake. It's making me a bit hungry. What else have we got? Oh, Kelvin, I've gone blank.
Chocolate is the thing that dogs will always go for.
Alcohol.
Yeah,
no boozing.
Yeah.
Fatty foods.
Yeah, you've got all that stuff. Let's say chocolate's got lots of fat and dairy products in it, which are not good for dogs.
They're not, no. Fatty foods.
But they smell so nice.
Oh, they're so good.
And fatty foods are...
Fatty foods don't tend to... They're not a poison per se, but we do have... We do have a little festival of diarrhea and vomiting on Boxing Day,
it's
inevitably.
Christmas-itis.
Christmas-itis strikes hard.
Yeah.
So if you have a pet who you wish to give a Christmas dinner...
Yes.
A little bit. A tiny bit.
Yes, tiny.
So a spoonful of turkey. If it's ham, maybe just a lean bit, and again a small bit. Avoid probably roast vegetables, as delicious they are. So a little bit of boiled veg. Avoid delicious gravies.
Yeah, because they're delicious
and high in fat.
That's sound of us, because they will, I mean, it depends on how well your dog's trained or whatever, what they're used to, but they will sit around the table looking pathetically at you.
Ask you,
don't they, Josie? They do that, don't they?
If you have Christmas presents under the tree, the classic box of chocolates.
Yes.
Probably don't put the box of chocolates under the tree because somebody will find them.
And those chocolate tree decorations as well.
Yes, they either go very high or not at all.
Yes.
Yeah, very out high of the reach.
They'll just get the cat to knock the tree over for them, so that.
Yes, they could work in a team.
Yes, it has happened.
And I'm sure it has happened. Yeah. Yes.
So basically, all the stuff we like, don't give it to dogs.
Exactly that. Yes.
Next one then, please, Josie.
Number two, are there Christmas plants and trees that are poisonous to our pets?
There are a few. Cats, they're not the classic Christmas thing, but cats and lilies, if anybody comes around bearing a lovely bouquet of flowers. Lilies are very, very toxic to cats.
Really? That's a new one on me, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, so if you have cats, I actually would say don't have lilies. The pollen in particular is particularly toxic. So if you do have lilies in, something that you can do actually is to snip out the stamens.
Yeah, and it saves you a lot of staining on your furniture.
Yes, and discard them. But even the leaves and the stems and stuff, if the cats chew on them, can make them quite unwell.
Okay.
Y-E-W is a spectacularly toxic plant.
I've heard that, but it's such a pretty tree.
It's a beautiful tree, but it is incredibly toxic. We occasionally in livestock, if they ingest you sometimes will still find the branches in their mouth. It is so toxic.
Oh wow.
It kills very, very quickly. The poison in it's okay.
I'll have to take myself a picture of a yew tree to make sure I don't do it. But
it's
likely for a domestic animal.
It will make, and it makes humans quite, don't eat it, people.
No, I wasn't going to.
It is for domestic animals as well. It is quite toxic.
It's less likely you do it so an animal is going to eat it. That was
some people might include it in a Christmas wreath or use it as a decoration, potentially. So I think just be a little bit cautious about that. Poinsettia, I think, is possibly one that's not particularly brilliant as well.
Right, yeah. They are quite a seasonal plant, aren't they?
They are quite seasonal, yeah. So I think keep them up and away from dogs and, well, as away from cats as you can.
Okay. Next one then, please, Josie.
Okay, number three. How do you keep your pets that normally live outside, like rabbits, guinea pigs, chickens, safe and warm in the cold winter?
That is a brilliant question. So, small furry beasties. A lot of them will do okay outside. However, you need to ensure that they're ideally not hutch, because rabbits really shouldn't be living in hutches in this day and age, is well insulated, and that they have plenty of bedding that they can burrow down into. Ideally, if the weather does get cold, you want to be able to move them indoors, not necessarily into the house itself, but if you have a shed or a garage or something where the temperature is still probably quite cool, but it's not going to freeze.
Yeah.
You know, you've not got that wind going, that sort of thing. Often, if they are in there, well insulated, they're fit and healthy, they may well be fine. If you have elderly ones, ones that are under the weather, anything like that, then the additional stress of very cold weather, wind, rain, that kind of thing, can be really hard work for them.
Okay, so that's if in doubt, consult your vet.
If in doubt, consult your vet. Yeah,
indeed. Our tortoise hibernates in our garage in its little box, so it's cool enough to hibernate, but not so cold it's going to freeze.
No, some people now, actually more and more people are hibernating their hedgehogs in the fridge.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'm not entirely comfortable with putting a live animal in the fridge, but
you have to reduce their temperature slowly, generally over a couple of weeks. I mean, the good thing about the fridge is it should be a standard temperature.
It should be, yes.
And so you can maintain them at a level temperature.
Yeah, fridge thermometers are readily available on many,
fridge thermometers are readily available. There are some very good websites which tell you how to do that. I think the Royal Vet College have an excellent guide.
We've stuck with ours in its shredded newspaper in a box in the garage for many years. It'll probably stay like that.
Yes, I think if anybody does have their tortoise in the garage, Do be very careful about rodents.
Yes, as it's high up and inside a box, which is going to be hard.
Because we do, unfortunately, sometimes see ones which have been attacked whilst they've been hibernating, which is horrid.
Yeah. Have you got another question then, please, Josie?
Yeah, the last one. What's the best sort of present to buy your dog and cat for Christmas?
anything fun, from my point of view, anything indestructible that they're not going to eat. There's so many out there, and different dogs and cats will have different preferences for the things they like. My dogs are extraordinarily destructive, so I have to give them the most indestructible, generally very hard rubber toys that I can find. Anything else is killed very quickly.
Yes.
But I think just have a look at it, make sure that you feel that it's a good quality, that it's going to stand up to some playing, that if there are bits which will be ripped asunder, that it's not going to kind of go down and small parts which may cause a problem.
So if in doubt, most vets will sell toys and things for
some do I mean we don't tend to, largely because we don't have any space, but yeah, a lot of vets will. There's a lot of very good toy companies, and actually a lot of the local pet shops
will be
more than happy to advise you on what will be suitable for your pet.
I'll strongly advise not buying one online that you haven't seen before.
Go and get your hands on it.
Have a look. I'm a great fan of buying online, don't get me wrong, Mr. Amazon, but with something like that, you need to have a look, and you'll know your pet, won't you?
Yes, absolutely.
And you know what it's going to rip apart and what it's not. If it's a dog,
yes.
If it's a cat, you'll know what it's going to just turn its nose up at and walk away
absolutely.
From.
Absolutely. And it's, it's a great opportunity to use the local shops as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is that it from you, Josie?
That's it. That's all
I've just got one more for you.
Yes.
Antifreeze.
Antifreeze.
Just a warning again.
Please, no antifreeze.
Yeah.
If you can, it's hugely toxic, especially to cats.
And it smells sweet.
And it tastes sweet. I think some people are putting bittering agents in them now.
Yeah.
Which does help, but we do get cats every year who ingest antifreeze, and
it's death for them, basically.
It doesn't really end very well for the vast majority of them, because it really does do a number on their kidneys.
So keep that in mind. Many people now with cars don't actually... I don't have any antifreeze at all. It used to be very common. But if you're still there, if you've got friends or family who are car enthusiasts who may have a tin of it around, if they spill it, make sure they
wipe it up. Make sure they wipe it up well. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Honor, for being along. And we'll get you in the spring. We start to get some nice weather.
Just one thing while we're here... Yeah. Is the Gilton Market on Monday.
It is. Now, tell me about that briefly.
So the Gilton Market is the only livestock market that we have on the island now.
Right.
It is actually a very wonderful showcase of really the best livestock and farming on the island. So there are sheep and cattle generally there in a number of different classes.
Mm-hmm.
And the best beast... in the market that day, which tends to be a heifer or a steer or sometimes a bull, is named the Gilton Beast, and they will have their horns, if they have them, or their poles up on the top of their head, gilded by the sheriff.
Hence the Gilton Market.
So that's up at Tatnall Farm on Monday.
Oh, right, okay. Well, it's not far. I live down at the end of the island.
It's lovely, actually. A lot of the farming community will be there. And it's a really, if people are interested, it's a lovely opportunity, actually, to go and see some really fantastic and very, very well cared for animals.
And it's quite an historic thing, isn't it?
It is. It's been going for a very long time. Very, very long time.
So that's Monday up at Tatnall, the Gilton Market. I've seen posters for it around. Yes. I'm sure there's other advertising for it as well. If in doubt, probably check the Tatnall website. I'm sure it's on there.
Yes.
Thank you, Honor, for coming in. We'll see you again in the new year, hopefully. In the meantime, it sounds a bit early, but it's this December. Have a great Christmas over there.
Yes, have a fantastic Christmas.
And we'll see you soon.